Prophet Abu Bakr. So, go back a little bit. 1936, August 4th. Nearly out of time. In a torment for more than 2 hours, agony. Suddenly, God's presence pervades me, and I feel as though I am coming under the power of just God. His justice pervades me to the marrow. Outwardly, I lose strength and consciousness. With this, I come to know the great holiness of God and my own great misery. A great torment afflicts my soul. The soul perceives its deeds to be not without blemish. Then the strength of trust is awakened in the soul, which longs for God with all its might. And it sees how miserable it is and what utter vanity everything that surrounds it. And face to face with such holiness, oh poor soul. So God is pure true, pure love. Any little thing is not love enough. It's blemish. It's not. We can't see God if we are not pure. So we need to be either on this earth or purgatory for purification. August 13, closer. I was tormented by terrible temptations all day. Blasphemies thrust themselves upon my lips, and I felt an aversion for everything that is holy and godlike. Yet I struggled throughout the day. In the evening, my mind became oppressed. What's the use of telling this to the confessor? He will ridicule me. It. A feeling of aversion and discouragement filled my soul. And it seemed to me that I could by no means receive Holy Communion in that condition. So he lose all the strength and not even want to tell the confessor, so he lose all hope. A thought of not receiving Holy Communion, such a terrible pain seized my soul that I almost cried aloud in the chapel. She wanted to, but she said she's not worthy. So she thought she's so sinful. She saw temptations, all the bad thoughts coming from her mouth. So how can I be in that so dirty? How can I receive Holy Communion? So it's a conflict, you know. But I suddenly realized that the sisters were there and decided to go to the garden and hide myself there so as to be able to at least cry out loud. Then suddenly, Jesus stood by me and said, "Where are you intending to go?" I gave no answer to Jesus, but poured out all my sorrow before him. And Satan's attempts ceased. Jesus then said to me, "The inner peace that you have is a grace." And suddenly he was gone. I felt happy and uncountably peaceful. Really, for so much peace to return within the moment. That's the thing only Jesus can do. He, the Most High Lord. So today the gospel, the Canaanite woman, she is not a Jew. She asked help from Jesus. The child was possessed. And Jesus said, I come only for the Jews. So how can I just more than I how can I give my food to the little dogs? But then the woman said, even little dogs can take some food from the desk of the children. So Jesus said, how great your faith is. We need to have faith in Jesus. But we still have faith in Jesus. So even after so serious temptations, she got the peace. So hold to Jesus, always yearning, asking. I think that's only salvation for us, for the peace of mind. We have all sorts of temptations. August 7, 1936. When I received the article about divine mercy with the image, God's presence filled me in an extraordinary way. When I steeped myself in a prayer of thanksgiving, I suddenly saw the Lord Jesus in a great brightness, just as he is painted. And at his feet, I saw Father Andres and Father Sopoco. Both were holding pens in their hands and flashes of light and fire, like lightning, were coming from the tips of their pens and striking a great crowd of people who were hurrying I know not where. Whoever was touched by the ray of the lights immediately turned his back on the crowd and held out his hands to Jesus. Some returned with great joy, others with great pain and compunction. Jesus was looking at both priests with great kindness. After a while, I was left alone with Jesus, and I said, Jesus, take me now, for your will has already been accomplished. Mission complete. I can go to you now. So much disturbances, so much temptations on earth. She wanted to quit. And Jesus answered, my will has not yet been completely accomplished in you. You will still suffer much, but I am with you. Do not fear. No Lord lesson. Just because I will be with you. The same as Paul was asking Jesus once, take all the pains away from me, then I can serve you wholeheartedly. But Jesus says, pain I will not take away. I give you sufficient grace. The same as for sinner. You will suffer much, but I am with you. Do not fear. Always use the word, the last word. No? Do not be afraid. It's what Pope John Paul II in the World Youth Day to the young people, I think it's in Rome or something. Go to the deep. Don't be afraid. Go ahead. I am with you. I've been talking much with the Lord about Father Andres and also about Sopoco. I know that whatever I ask of the Lord, he will not refuse me, and he will give them that for which I ask. I sensed and I know how greatly Jesus loved them. I'm not writing about this in detail, but I know this, and it makes me very happy. August 15, 1936. During Mass, Jesus celebrated Father Andres. A moment before the elevation, God's presence pervaded my soul, which was drawn to the altar. Then I saw the Mother God with the infant Jesus. The infant Jesus was holding on to the hand of Our Lady. A moment later, the infant Jesus ran with joy to the center of the altar. And the Mother God said to me, see with what assurance I entrust Jesus into his hands. In the same way, you are to entrust your soul and be like a child to him, to Father Sopoco. Jesus go to him, that means he trusts Father Sopoco. So since he is his, her spiritual director. So, complete trust. After these words, my soul was filled with unusual trust. The Mother of God was clothed in a white dress, strangely white, transparent. So the color in heaven is different than our color. Even gray, it's beautiful, not at all on earth. That's what the missionaries told us of Medjugorje. The missionaries still see our Heavenly Mother, no? Even three on a daily basis. So it was simple, but the color is different. Even gray, even white, is heavenly color. It's not on earth. Because the heart, anything out of love is different, right? Even yellow color is beautiful yellow. If you have beautiful heart, everything is beautiful. On the soldiers, shed a transparent blue. That is, a blue like mantle. With uncovered head and flowing hair. She was exquisite and inconceivably beautiful. She was looking at Father Sopoko with great tenderness. But after a moment, he brought up this beautiful child, the host, no? As he was poking the child. And living blood flowed forth. Father bent forward and received the true and living Jesus into himself. So this is what Faustina is seeing. Father Sopoko is breaking the little child Jesus and drinking his blood and eating his meat. Had he eaten him? I don't know how this took place. Jesus, I cannot keep up with you for in an instant you become incomprehensible to me. Be eaten by a priest. How can that be? Impossible. That's how the feeling of Faustina, no? If you believe, that's wonderful. If by that time he was telling the other sisters of the convent, they said, you've got something wrong. The essence of virtues is the will of God. He who does the will of God faithfully practices all virtues. So we say all the words, three virtues, faith, hope, and charity. If you do the will of God, you practice all these three virtues. Many times it's just distinctly, I believe. But you're doing right that moment. The will of God, you're washing the clothes, then you are all meditating on this. This is not virtue. You say, I love God so much. The whole hour I meditate on God and let the clothing over there. You're not living faith. No, it's not even charity towards God. You don't do His will. You should wash the clothes and then you're just meditating. The essence of virtues is the will of God. He who does the will of God faithfully practices all the virtues. So simple. You don't have to go to theology class to learn what are virtues, definition of virtues, well, how many types of virtues, inner and inner, outside. So simple. In all the events, in the circumstances of my life, I adore and bless the holy will of God. The holy will of God is the object of my love. In the most secret depths of my soul, I live according to His will. I act exteriorly according to what I recognize inwardly as the will of God. Sweeter to me are the torments, sufferings, persecutions, and all manner of adversities by divine will than popularity, praise, and esteem by our own will. We yearn for appreciation from people, you yearn for praise from the people. But if it's not a real God that moment, put aside. Maybe you feel pain, sorrow, things in the Philippines, things at home, not happy. This is the will of God for you that moment. With joy. That's our destiny. Good night, my Jesus. The bell is calling me to sleep. My Jesus, you see that I'm dying from the desire to save souls. Good night, my beloved. She said she have no more time, she have to sleep, so she cannot pray for the souls. I did purgatory for sinners, so she has to stop. She find her mission is to pray for sinners, though. So, sorry, Jesus, I have to say good night. I cannot say any prayer more. Very simple. I rejoice at being one day closer to eternity. And if you let me wake up tomorrow, Jesus, I shall begin a new hymn to your praise. So much better if I can go to you at once tonight and no more tomorrow. He will be better. He says, she will say, but maybe better. But anyway, it will keep me alive. I'm still joyful. July 13. During meditation today, I came to understand that I should never speak about my own interior experiences, but that I should conceal nothing from my spiritual director, and I will especially ask God to enlighten my spiritual director. Attach greater importance to the words of my confessor, so that all the lights taken together that I receive interiorly. So she got the interior voice from the Lord, but she said, more important, I have to obey. Jesus is more pleased that she is obedient. You know, many times, you know, different ideas. Jesus tell her to do this, and the spiritual director, no, don't do that. Then once she said, Jesus, how can I don't like, I can listen to you. I have to listen to my spiritual director, no? There's a simplicity. Jesus, I don't listen to you now. Amid the greatest torments, I fix the gaze of my soul upon Jesus crucified. I do not expect help from people, but place my trust in God. In His unfathomable mercy lies all my hope. So I fix the gaze of my soul upon Jesus crucified. You know, not a happy thing to watch the suffering of Jesus, and not a happy journey that we walk on the footpath of the Passion of Christ. We won't take away from this path. But you see, she has to make the choice. The will of God, the crucified Jesus, that's her choice. The more I feel that God is transforming me, the more I decide to immerse myself in silence. The love of God is doing its work in the depths of my soul. I see that the mission which the Lord has entrusted to me is beginning. Once, when I was praying fervently to Jesuit saints, I suddenly saw my guardian angels who led me before the throne of God. I passed through great hosts of saints and recognized many of them, whom I knew from their pictures. I saw many Jesuits who asked me from what congregation I was. When I answered, they asked, who is your spiritual director? You see, the priest, their profession, you know, the Jesuits. Who is your spiritual director? I answered that it was Father Andreas. When he wanted to say more, my guardian angel beckoned me to be silent, and I came before the throne of God. are so great, inaccessible nights, and so placed distant from me, close to God. But what it was like, I do not know, because the cloud covered. However, my guardian angel said to me, "Here is your throne, for your faithfulness in fulfilling the will of God." I think the will of God for her is not easy. It's really, really a cross. Holy Hour, Thursday. During this hour of prayer, Jesus announced me to enter the cenacle, and I was a witness to what happened there. Cenacle is a place where Jesus and his disciples at the Last Supper. Cenacolo, cenacle. However, I was most deeply moved when, before the consecration, Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and entered into a mysterious conversation with his Father. So going back to history, the time of the God, Jesus with the Last Supper with the disciples, and he saw Jesus looking up and he was seeing God the Father. It's only in eternity that we shall really understand that moment. His eyes were like two flames. His face was radiant, white as snow. His whole personage full of majesty. His soul full of longing. At the moment of consecration, love rested saturated. The sacrifice fully consummated. Now, only the external ceremony of death will be carried out. External destruction. The essence of it is in the cenacle. Never in my whole life had I understood this mystery so profoundly as during that hour of adoration. Oh, how ardently I desired that the whole world would come to know this unfathomable mystery. So Jesus in the host, in the Blessed Sacrament, is a mystery of God's unfathomable love for each one of us. After Holy Hour, when I went to my cell, I suddenly learned how greatly God was offended by a certain person who was close to my heart. At the sight of this, my soul was pierced with pain, and I cast myself into the dust before the Lord, begging His mercy. For 2 hours, in tears, prayer, and flagellation, I prevented the sin, and I learned that God's mercy had embraced that poor soul. Oh, the price of one single sin. But she was praying for that soul. She know. She is offering her life for that soul. September, first Friday. In the evening, I saw the Mother of God with her breast bared in peace with her sword. She was shedding bitter tears and shielding us against God's terrible punishment. God wants to inflict terrible punishment on us, but He cannot, because the Mother of God is shielding us. Horrible fear seized my soul. I don't know whether you have heard of one story in the United States about a priest, but I think this is a quite recent one. He's really better. Religious sister interviewing him in the radio or in the studio, and he admitted, I think by that time he was a priest for 20 years, but after his ordination of 10 years, he got a serious accident, crashed with another car, his soul screwing up to the throne of Jesus, and he heard the clear voice, "You are going to hell." But then suddenly a voice of a woman gave him another chance, and this priest reckon, he didn't see the face, but he so surely that's the voice of our Heavenly Mother. Give him another chance. So he came back. Those who were safe, and then he shared in the, before the audience. He said, for the first 10 years of my priesthood, I lived my life in a kind of, I don't know how to explain, seems to be holy, but not holy. How do you explain this? What's the adjective? Behave as if. He just behaved as if doing very well, competition with other priests from the congregation. It's a competition. Behave as if more holy than the others, da, da, da. But his heart rotten. He committed sin, worthy of hell. And he knows. So by the time the voice says, this voice of Jesus, you have to go to hell, said he said, I choose it. He could not complain. But then that's how our Heavenly Mother is intervening for each one of us. In this case, it's true. If you like, I can send you the passage. It's in English, written with subtitle in Chinese, I believe this way. But this with the sister, so you have to trust. Unless they pretend to be a sister and pretend to be a priest, and then I don't know. But I presume they don't do this, no? But it's really beautiful experience. I kept praying insistently for Poland, for my dear Poland, which is so lacking in gratitude for the Mother of God. If it were not for the Mother of God, all the efforts would be of little use. I intensified my prayers and sacrifices for our dear native land, but I see that I am a drop before the water of evil. How can a drop stop a wave? Oh yes, a drop is nothing of itself, but with you, with God, with Jesus, I shall stand up bravely to the whole wave of evil and even to the hold of hell. Your omnipotence can do all things. Just trust in the Lord. We can hold much. There's so much evil. We're just a drop. How can you stop the great wave? You know, it doesn't make sense. No comparison. Now, the last phrase. Once I was going down the hall to the kitchen, I heard these words in my soul. Say unceasingly the chaplet that I have taught you of divine mercy. Whoever recites it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. So prepare for yourself, first of all, not just for people, for yourself. Don't think that I'm okay. Perhaps we are not the last okay. Priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation. Even if there were a sinner most hardened, if he were to recite this chaplet only once, he would receive grace from my infinite mercy. So do you know how to say the chaplet Divine Mercy? Now when I go to see the sick people, I usually, what Jesus say, no? Stay in front of them loudly, because sometimes they cannot hear clearly. Say the chaplet Divine Mercy. I decide that the whole world know to my infinite mercy, Jesus says. I decide to grant unimaginable graces to those souls who trust in my mercy. Now we say the chaplet Divine Mercy. Trust. And with heart, say with heart, not just words. And thank Jesus for all his grace. And thanks Sister Faustina for being with us. And just ask her simplicity. Remember today, the most important thing is all the virtues coming from the doing the will of God. That's what important. You practice so many virtues, but not the will of God, then you lose everything.